grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended.
And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the Lord of your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the Sabbath day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his own ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Return of my mellow, and let it repent thee concerning thy servant. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver.
whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, you reconcile to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out till you have paid the last penny. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If someone were to ask you, what does your baptism mean for you now, today? The epistle read in church on this sixth Sunday after Trinity gives us an opportunity to think about this question. And whenever this Sunday comes around with its epistle about holy baptism, I remember some words spoken in the far-off world of the 13th century, 800 years ago. In that far-off time, the devout king of France, Louis IX, had this to say: "The three handfuls of water with which I was once baptized are more precious to me than the crown of royalty which I now wear on my head." The three handfuls of water with which I was once baptized are more precious to me than the crown of royalty which I now wear on my head. But the crown he wore on his head simply showed that he was, for a short time, a king. But those three handfuls of water had made him a living member of Christ, a child of God, and an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. Problems in the church at Rome caused St. Paul to speak of baptism in his letter to that church. For it seems that some of the Roman Christians had confused the forgiveness of sin with license to sin. And it was against that terrible misunderstanding that St. Paul cries out, "Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who have died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Whenever we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, we say, "I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins." To consider the reality, the blessings of baptism, it's perhaps helpful to think about baptism as administered by immersion. That is not necessary, but it is a way of administering the sacrament. And it helps us to picture to ourselves what baptism is, regardless of the amount of water used. I almost always ask my confirmation classes, "What happens if you hold somebody under the water too long?" And the answer invariably comes back: they drown. And that is precisely what happens in every baptism. In baptism, we are mysteriously yet truly joined to the death of Jesus, his saving death for our sins, and his life-giving resurrection. I love these words of an old hymn which says, "With Christ we share a mystic grave. With Christ we buried lie. But 'tis not in the darksome cave by mournful Calvary. The pure and bright baptismal flood entombs our nature stain. new creatures from the cleansing wave. With Christ, we rise again. And that then is the wonder, indeed the miracle, of holy baptism. That in baptism, you and I have mysteriously yet truly been made one with the saving death and the life-giving resurrection of our Savior. As we learn to say in our catechism, baptism works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. Baptism is our solid rock, dependable, unshakable, immovable. We remember how when Dr. Luther was troubled by sin and guilt, or all but overwhelmed with care and fear, he would say to himself, "But I have been baptized. And if I have been baptized, then I am a member of Christ, a child of God, an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven." And that is the wonder, the miracle of holy baptism. To live as a baptized child of God is to die daily to sin and to walk in newness of life. And how do we do that? Through daily repentance, by saying no to sin. And when we sin, immediately crawling back to our baptism and taking comfort in the tender mercy of Jesus there given and pledged to us forever. Healings come and go, faith waxes and wanes, love flourishes and dies, but our baptism into Christ dead and risen stands certain and firm forever. Christian living is baptismal living, daily returned into baptism in which we once truly yet mysteriously shared in the death of Jesus, in whose death our sins are dead and buried in his tomb and in the watery tomb of our baptism. And because you and I have already in baptism shared in Christ's life-giving death, the death we still have to die is only the completion of baptism and entrance into glory, just as St. Paul says in today's epistle. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, and we have been in baptism, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Yes, baptism works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. St. Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians, "As many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In baptism, you and I put on the spotless robe of Jesus' blood and righteousness, in which before our God we'll stand when we shall reach the heavenly land." And so we remember again the words of the devout King Louis IX of France, who could say, "The three handfuls of water with which I was once baptized are more precious to me than the crown of royalty which I now wear on my head. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen." In our prayers today, we especially remember our former summer vicar, Brett Whitmer, who this afternoon will be ordained to the holy ministry. We also remember Timothy Sheridan, who also will be ordained this afternoon to the holy ministry. Let us stand and pray for the church and for the world. O Lord our God, holy and infinite, you caused the light to shine out of darkness and have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Accept now in your endless mercy this our sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, and mercifully hear our requests. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
According to the multitude of your tender mercies, remember your whole church on earth, all pastors and ministers of your holy word, especially Brett and Timothy about to be ordained, the chaplains of the armed forces of our nation, and the missionaries of your grace at home and abroad. Lord, in your mercy. Remember also the President of the United States and all who bear the authority of government in this and every land, that justice and peace may everywhere prevail. Lord, in your mercy. Remember in your compassion all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, especially all persecuted Christians and all those for whom our prayers are desired. Lord, in your mercy. We also remember before you all those who have departed this life in the true faith of your holy name, and pray that we with them may have our portion with all your saints in light. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let us continue with hymn 616.